Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today is episode 645, and I'm really happy to have my new friend, Larry Smith, here. Larry is a longtime journalist who sent out a tweet way back in 2006, and he asked, "Can you describe your life in six words?" That tweet launched the Six Word Memoir Project, a best-selling series of books and a popular teaching tool in classrooms around the world. He's got a new collection of six-word memoirs, and today we are going to talk about how parents can use it to connect with their kids. Welcome, Larry. It's great to have you here.
So nice to be with you, Erin.
So before we dive into our discussion today, tell me about that shirt you're wearing.
Right. So I have a lucky life, I guess. I was a journalist for many years, and I was most interested in why people do what they do, what makes them run. And so when I'm in schools, especially, I ask the kids, hey, what does a journalist do? And the answer is they ask questions, and then hopefully they listen, and hopefully they get the essence of what their subject or their topic is. So in 2006, I sent out that tweet you mentioned, "Can you describe your life in six words?" And I thought it would be a fun little, Twitter was a new thing, a fun little literary riff. Oh, you know, and it's based on, some of your listeners may know, it's based on the literary legend that, according to the story, Ernest Hemingway once wrote a whole novel in just six words. As the story goes, he wrote, "For sale, baby shoes, never worn." Might be true, might not be. But playing off the literary legend, because we all love an origin story, I challenged the pretty small world of Twitter back then to describe their life in six words. And within days, there were like 10,000 tweets. And so I started a little website called sixwordmemoirs.com so I could collect them that way. So that was about 15 years ago. And Six Word Memoirs has become a best-selling book series, an event program where people start with six words and tell the backstory, kind of like The Moth. And for me, most meaningfully, a way for teachers to help their students start writing, kind of break through hard ideas, because the blank page is scary for all of us, right? For writers, for non-writers, but we all have to write it sometime. We all have to speak. So the six-word form, we're about to get why I'm wearing this t-shirt. The six-word form is a way to get to the essence of who you are and what matters most. And how, what that form, where that will go, depends on you, and it can go so many ways. So I have 10 six-word memoir t-shirts, each with one of my six-word memoirs. This is like my main one. Now I obsessively count the words. So Erin, if I'm like at the supermarket in line, even at 6 feet away, you know, during these times of COVID, which will pass, and someone's like, "Oh, hey, man, what's your t-shirt about?" I'm like, "Oh, well, actually, I do this thing called the Six Word Memoir Project." Then inevitably, depending on the person, they might say, "Oh, I have a six word memoir." Or when my son was 3 months old, I was living in Brooklyn, and I wrote this six word that I put in a t-shirt. "So much crying, the baby too." And guys were just like, "I feel you, bro." And they'd fist pump me. And, you know, the t-shirts are a way to start a conversation and to ask someone, whether it's your family member, kids and parents and grandparents and kids. We can definitely talk a lot about that. It's a great way for generations to connect, teachers to get kids to start writing, to try to sum up parts of their lives or parts of a character in a piece they're reading. It's a way to get the conversation going. And for me, to help people start conversations, it's really my life's work now.
That's really, really cool. When you were explaining the concept, I was actually thinking about it in both directions. So like you were kind of describing it where it helps a person to kind of tease out the essence of who they are if they're talking about themselves, and like the most important words or characteristics or qualities or whatever. And it helps people kind of break through the writer's block or have some idea of what to start with. But I was thinking about that concept in terms of the world we live in today. And the world we live in today is so oversaturated with words, information, stimulation. We are like bombarded with
every direction,
so much coming at us all the time. And so much of it, if you actually look at it, so much of it is nonsense. It's like wasted words, superfluous. It's just not necessary. It's a lot of dribble on about nothing. Either social media, the news, whatever, wherever these things are coming at you, your email inbox, tons of drivel there that means absolutely nothing. So I really was thinking about how cool this concept is because it really forces you to kind of capture what's most important in this world of way too much of everything.
No, absolutely. And you got, I think you really just got to the heart of why six word memoirs work, which is, well, on the one hand, catalyze, right? Let's get the story started. It's just a way to break through, you know, the terror of the blank page, terrifying for all of us. But then, as you said, also summarize, what is the essence of your life? What is the essence of your work? What is the essence of, you know, faith is a very popular topic for six word memoirs. What is advice in six words? I did a whole book of six word advice because I saw people writing their memoirs in the form of advice. Now we think about something like the pandemic. The whole world, like it or not, has a shared experience. And so obviously there's going to be these wonderful books that are coming out about the pandemic by journalists from the New Yorker and the Atlantic and everywhere. It's all going to happen, right? They're all going to be bestsellers. But my work is about helping everyone have a voice in the conversation. You know, the fancy way is to have a voice in the cultural narrative of our time. Or if you're asking a kid who's in fifth grade or eighth grade or second or third grade, it's about when I've seen kids really sort of get the idea of six word memoirs. And I can tell you a whole podcast about what third graders have said. Unbelievable. Life is better in soft pajamas. Born to be a spy, unknowable. Unbelievable.
I love it.
9 and 10 year olds.
Love it.
8 years old, combed hair twice. But the idea is these kids are coming to school.
Awesome.
During a pandemic or they're at virtual school. And this pandemic is happening. And I knew that teachers, because they've been teaching six word memoirs as a lesson plan for, you know, probably about a decade now. I didn't intend that to happen. They just this would work for my class. And then of course I started making free guides for teachers and the whole bookmaking process. But kids are coming to school and they want to voice what they're feeling about the pandemic. And so you have to ask that simple question. How would you describe the pandemic in six words? And just the way there's a million ways to describe it as adults, and also many common themes, obviously, you know, TikToking my way out of this, you know, the internet, weak internet connections, strong classroom connections. A teacher wrote that six word memoir. You know, to have even tell a kid, whatever that kid's age, or anybody, your part of this story is important. You're just as valid as those fancy newspapers and podcasts and radio shows. That's a very powerful thing. It gives kids at a young age that feeling of agency. My story is important. And we are literally all in this together, like it or not. And so, you know, the new book that I have is called The Terrible, Horrible, No Good Year. Hundreds of stories by teachers, students, and parents on the pandemic. And now it's years, not year, actually.
Right.
I intended it to be a time capsule of our time. And actually, since the pandemic just keeps going, it's a living, breathing document. But it's, you know, it's just all sorts of stories. And I chose the lens of education because I could have done a book about any part of the pandemic or just a general pandemic book. But I felt like if we make this book of six word memoirs through the lens of education, there will be, frankly, hundreds of kids who have never been published before. And now there's out of about 550 stories, probably 200 kids, 200 teachers, and 100 parents. And I got to tell you, Aaron, whether you're 8 or 80, it's really cool to be published in a book, to watch kids open the book. I mean, I just get a dopamine rush.
That is very, very cool. And I've read some of the six word life stories of these kiddos, and they are, you're right, they're very cool. It's very cool what they come up with.
You certainly have teenagers out there, and certainly some of them can relate to For Sale Prom Dress Never Worn by Carolyn Richardson. You know,
yes.
It's you know, if you're let's just say you're not a teenager going to the prom, maybe you're 7, maybe you're 77. You know exactly what she's talking about. And if you are a teenager, you're just like, oh my God, I feel that. She sees me, I see her, you know? And that's what storytelling does. It connects us to worlds we relate to, and it connects us and it gives us an understanding of worlds that maybe aren't our immediate world, but are part of the world. And if you can say it in 6, you have a better chance of reading it than if it's going to be a 200,000 word, you know, piece of novel or memoir about the pandemic.
And the other thing that I think is cool is your 6 words will invariably change over time. So I was thinking of the 6 words you said when your son was a baby.
Yeah.
Well, you weren't saying that 2 years later. It was a different 6 words. So it almost, if you keep practicing that or revisiting that concept, it almost could be, like you said about the pandemic, like little time capsules of your life, of different phases of your life.
Yeah. And even reading the pandemic book, you know, towards the end, there's about 30 illustrations in the book, all by students. And the last one is throw off your mask, go outside, you know,
beautiful.
Because we were thinking, you know, I mean, you can go outside without the mask, but yeah, you know, it's so interesting. So about, I think maybe when my kid was 4 or 5, I read a new 6-word memoir about parenting. Parenting, idiot, expert, idiot, expert, idiot. It just keeps changing. Okay, now I understand about, okay, how to get rid of gas in a baby. Now I understand about like what it's like to be 5, you know, to the extent that I can. Now I'm dropping my kid off at kindergarten. You know, my kid's, you know, about to go to middle school. And it's just like every time, and I know you know this better than I do, every time you think you got it, nope, they change. And that's part of what makes it so fun and parenting so challenging.
Oh, that is so true. Oh my goodness. So true. And it's really cool how you really can connect, like have a shared experience or a shared memory of an experience with something as simple as 6 words. You can say those words. Like I'm thinking again about when you're walking down the street was your t-shirt when your son was little and other dads were reading your shirt and they were connecting with you. They don't know you. They never saw you. They don't know anything about your life. They just read those 6 words and they said, oh, I can relate. And that's
totally
so cool.
I'll give you a funnier example. So now, you know, at some point, you know, I'm married. Well, not obviously, but I'm married and you know, we're going to various charity events for the school. And I wrote a 6-word memoir and I made a t-shirt. It says, live auctions and alcohol don't mix. And that was about my wife. I'm like, no, we don't need that other thing. Somebody take the wine away from her, you know? It's kind of like, it's a joke. And even if you see my t-shirt, you don't know it's a 6-word memoir. It's just a way to start a conversation. And for sure, you know, what's really cool about this website, which is now, I mean, well, God, I'll tell you this story. My first classroom I was ever in was in South Jersey, where I grew up, the same elementary school I was in. So my nephew is in the same school. For all I know, it was literally the same classroom. It felt like the same classroom. And so he said, hey, Uncle Larry, I brought my book into my classroom and the teacher really likes it. And I was like, uh-oh. I mean, the first book, I didn't think it would be in classroom. It's not like, you know, rated R, but there's some adult themes in there about, you know, life and stuff. And I really didn't understand when I edited the first book, it would be a thing teachers would use as a tool for writing and self-expression with their kids. And so I go in there and that day the kids shared their 6-word memoirs. And my nephew Noah, he was 8. And one of his was, they're mean, but I love them. Right? Talking about, I believe, my sister and her husband, right? His parents. Now, that was 15 years ago. Actually, it was 14 years ago. And Noah is now a student teacher. He graduated college. That's
wow.
A crazy journey. And his 6-word memoirs in the new pandemic book, which is next year, student becomes the teacher because he's doing a year of apprenticeship.
Nice.
And that is a, talk about it, you were saying a life journey from 8 to, because, you know, your life when you're older, it doesn't change as much in 14 years, but 8 right. to 22,
huge.
It's a couple of lifetimes, right?
Yeah.
Puberty and young adulthood and college. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of also just watching the behavior on this website I have where some people have been writing memoirs like a public diary, you know? I mean, I know a teenager once said, your thing is like Facebook without the ads. And I'm like, and with a better privacy policy. Yeah. You know, it's obviously a smaller site. And, you know, it's a community. It's not a social network. And I'm really all about community storytelling. And for me, to go from journalism, which I loved and still do some of and always loved and will always love, but to be basically a community storyteller and one that it works so well with families. Mm-hmm. One of the nice things is... is when I get an email from someone, oh, I heard you give a talk somewhere, or I heard an interview, I stumbled upon Six Word Memoirs somewhere. And now every Friday night, I get my teens, these teens who don't want to talk to mom and dad anymore. Not all teens, but, you know, I've got one in my my front view mirror, you know, my own son who's 11. He's coming soon on the teen. You know, they don't, how was your week? Okay, listen, everybody, all I'm asking for is one Six Word Memoir about your week. Can you do that? And they said, okay, mom, we'll do that. And you know, they kind of love it. And I have seen often might be in an eighth grade classroom and I'll be walking around, kids are working on their Six Word Memoirs and somebody's stuck. And I say, okay, I know you're stuck. It can be easy and it can be hard. What do you like to eat at school? I love school bean burritos. Okay. I need one more word. I seriously love school bean burritos. Done. And inevitably, I'll circle around the room. And by the time I get back to that kid, he's written four more. You break the ice with one.
Yeah.
It's a little hard at first. And then the stories flow. And that when it happens around a dinner table or when you see a grandparent and a grandkid reading these stories and asking about it. I did a book, Six Words on Immigration, about how people came to America. Some people in the book got to America very recently. Some were talking about how their great grandparents came over, their family stories. And to have grandparents and grandkids share these stories about where they came from. And you start with six words and hopefully you hear three more magical words. Tell me more, right? A six word is almost like a headline or a teaser, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, tell me more. What happened next?
That's really cool. Happened?
Yeah.
I can even imagine that being used like at a Thanksgiving gathering, like a family holiday.
Well, I don't think you knew this story, but, cause it's not one that's, you know, in a book anywhere, but, my first tweet was a couple days before Thanksgiving. Mm. And I told my family, you know, oh, I started this thing and it's kind of taken off. And, you know, without a lot of preamble or talking about the Hemingway origin story, For Sale Baby Shoes Never Worn, just around the room, it started happening. You know, my nephew, the older nephew, he's now like 25. He said, oh, I have one for grandpa. Memory loss. What was I thinking? The kid was 11 at the time.
Oh my gosh. And
my 5-year-old niece did a 6-word review of the turkey. And it's absolutely, and of course that's now, awesome. You know, 6 words of gratitude is a great Thanksgiving prompt, you know? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, your listeners will hear this idea and they'll be like, oh, wait a minute, I have an idea. I'm going to be like, say to my kids, 6 words on Earth Day. What do you think about the environment? Six mm-hmm. words on what do you want to be when you grow up? Or describe my son is doing a book report on Greta Thunberg, you know, the great young environmental champion, activist. And as part of it, he's going to include his 6-word memoir for her. He's going to make one up for her. And then, of course, there'll be, you know, hundreds more words about Greta, but he'll start by kind of summing up her essence. And you know, people come up with prompts I never thought about, you know, and it's just kind of magically. It's a tool to be shared and as a way to start conversations. What better place than with families?
Yes, I agree. I'm thinking about how it would make a great icebreaker, you know, if you have like a, if you go or if you lead maybe a workshop at a convention or something, no matter what the topic is on.
I do that all the time.
So many things.
What's so funny is that you can go to, you know, if I'm at like a conference of teachers or therapists love 6-word memoirs because it's a way to kind of self-expression. You know, mm-hmm. It's a way to kind of dig in. And my mom was a social worker for 45 years. We had a lot of like, how are you feeling, Larry? And I'm like, well, Mom, I'm okay that Apollo Creed knocked down Rocky. I'm over it. So can we just get McDonald's now, you know? But so I was like, oh God, I don't want to be in the therapy business, but I'm accidentally am. And when you share a story as silly as school bean burrito or as intense as mom's Alzheimer's, she forgets, I remember, you're releasing something and that mm-hmm. can feel good and powerful. But now the better parts of community sites and to some extent social media is people can catch it and be like, well, I feel that. Cursed with cancer, blessed with friends. You know, that was shared at a live mm-hmm. event. And you just saw other people like, you know, hey, I don't know you, but my sister has cancer.
Beautiful.
Thank you for that. And at conventions, and it can be as, you know, like I said, a therapist convention or a teacher convention, but I can literally be at a convention of supermarket owners and I could say, okay, I'm your speaker and
Seems
weird, but I'm going to talk about the power of storytelling to connect your employees to each other and to your mm-hmm. customers. And our prompt today is, why do I do what I do? Why do I own this supermarket? Right. And then it could be 500 people in a ballroom. It could be 50 people at a staff retreat and they go around the room. In this case, it was a big ballroom and people are going around the room and some people are sharing 8 words by accident. And some people are sharing 6 words about the butcher's been with me for, you know, decades and that's meaningful. But then this one woman, and it was mostly men who own these supermarkets, but this one woman's like, hi, I'm Sally. I own a couple of ShopRites in Connecticut. And my 6 words are, why are you screaming, it's detergent? So the whole room erupts. Because if you own a supermarket, nobody understands your weird world like the other
except
supermarket
you,
owners.
Right. And your
and some nut
colleagues.
In aisle 3 is losing her mind about detergent. And that's that kind of we're all in this together thing. I'm giving you a goofy example. But that idea of like storytelling, connecting people in a shared experience of parenting, of owning a supermarket, of being in fifth grade, it's so powerful. And we're so used mm-hmm. to storytelling that sometimes we forget just how life-changing it really can be. So that's a long answer.
So true.
Yes, it's really great at conventions.
And I'm also thinking about the current world we live in and how divisive it is. And so I love anything that tries to kind of neutralize that toxic division and bring us together in a shared experience, environment, whatever.
You have teed me up for, sometimes people say to me, you have a favorite 6-word memoir. And there have been millions written on the site. And I suspect countless millions more on blogs and at conventions and conferences, dinner tables, wherever. We'll never know. I like to call it end counting, ... ellipsis.
Yes.
I do have a favorite 6-word memoir, which is, I did a book of all illustrated 6-word memoirs just by students about 8 years ago. It was called Things Don't Have to Be So Complicated. It's an ebook only because the illustrations look so good. And so we did just an ebook. And Nava Krieger, who at the time was age 9, did this illustration, which was, bears are my number one fear, right? So there's, but then next to her is a bear. And the bear's got a thought bubble and it says, humans are my number one fear.
Yep.
And so I gave a talk once, a TEDx talk, and I was like, okay, I got to get all the best 6-word memoirs, TEDx, the stakes are high. And I'm looking at all these memoirs, all these illustrations, and I was like, kept coming back to Nava's. And I was like, what is Nava doing here? I don't know if she knew this at age 9, but the way I interpret this is, we're all afraid of something. A bear, maybe that something is afraid of us. Mm-hmm. And if you know the bear in your life story, whether it's a different political party, a different nation state, some people homeschool, some people don't homeschool, right?
All the things.
If you know their story, they just can't be so scary. You know, it's hard to hate up close, you know?
Mm.
And so storytelling can bring us together. And you know, I dream of doing a 6-word project with the Arabs and Israelis.
Do you know that it's hard to hate up close is also 6 words? You must think in 6 words.
I think in 6 words, but it is 6 words. And even more than that, I can catch 6 words in the air. Like if you're next to me at a restaurant and I hear like a 6-word little phrase, I can kind of count
automatically.
I was never great at math, you know, but I'm pretty good at Wordle.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Bad at math, good at Wordle. Another six-word memoir, right? Here we go. And I do just, it's not even, your YouTube viewers can see it. Your radio folks can't, your podcast. But I do, I do count in six. It's not like an act. My fingers are always moving, you know, plus one thumb, right? So my kid does it. You know, we have our quirks over here in the six-word world.
I love it. I love it so much. Oh my goodness. So I cut you off, but go back to what you were saying about the Palestinians. What was your new idea?
Oh, I have just a dream of doing at some point where, you know, Palestinians and Israelis, probably maybe students, you know, share six word stories, and we bring them up on a stage where, you know, different stories start with six words, and then they tell the backstories about just like there, not politics, just what it's like to be me, you know? Mm. And one six word memoir, which was in the six word immigration book by a young Syrian Palestinian American, those are her hyphens, who I met when I lived in Columbus, Ohio for a few years. Her six words are, escaped war, war never escaped me.
Oh,
she wrote those when she was 17. She shared that workshop I was doing with teens in Ohio. And Sarah Bourachette and I turned those six words into a 70-minute one-woman play about her life that ran about 20 times before COVID shut us down.
Wow.
And she just opened up her whole story. And it was so cool at the end where, like, yes, there were many young women who were Muslim who came up and said and asked questions. Oh, my God, that's my story, too. Thank you. But there were old Irish guys saying, you know what? What you said, in a weird way, my grandfather went through the same thing coming from Ireland. In a weird way, you know, and so that kind of idea of like, my dad was like, you know, Larry, he flew to Ohio to see it from New Jersey. And he said, I'm going to tell you, I said to mom, I don't know, a play about a Palestinian immigrant from Syria, it's not my thing. But I really liked it. I kind of related to it because my grandfather, his dad, came from Russia at age 4 for the same reason Sarah and her mom and grandma came. For a better life. And Sarah started with six words. We opened it up. Now that's a special case to go from six words to a play. But I promise you, we know the parents asking your kids to share six words about their life, their dreams, six words about maybe what annoys you in six words, right? Okay, why? Now let's ask another word, mm-hmm. why? And take it from there. It really is, it started as a form of self-expression, but now it's really a tool to get conversations going and really to, I don't know, as you said before, it's a tool for connection.
That's so cool. I hope that as parents are listening to our conversation today, that it's sparking some new ideas about how they could bring this project or this fun game into their families, to their dinner tables, to their family game nights, to their car rides. There's so many opportunities to bring this in. And if you're riding in the car and you're trying to come up with your six word theme of the day or what have you, then it keeps the kids off the phone too. Bonus.
Anything to keep the kids off the phone.
Anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. The struggle is real.
It is real. It is.
And I will say, you know, if parents have kids, you know, really elementary, middle school, high school, but I feel like 3 through 8 is the sweet spot. Tell your teachers about it. A lot of them have heard it. It's really great to hear that, oh, hey, you know, my kid's teacher taught six word memoirs. And, you know, I didn't know this teacher. It becomes a really fun, some teachers teach as a unit for a few days. Others do it as a theme once a month. They send me these wonderful images of where they post the six word memoirs kids write, sometimes illustrate on the wall, because storytelling, living and breathing on walls, you know, some
beautiful.
Schools will walk through they're lining the hallways because they did an all school project.
Wow.
Really, for me, not quite what I was planning, which is the name of the first book, not quite what I was planning, it's somebody's six word memoir, but really to have just started something that I thought is just a fun little Twitter riff to become more of a movement, you know, really, I just feel very, you know, it feels meaningful and really grateful that this can be my work, you know?
That's very cool. Well, I am so glad that you came up with that idea back in 2006. And I'm so glad that you kind of noticed the signals and the clues that you were getting. Obviously, from 10,000 responses, you knew that something was striking a nerve. But I'm so glad you paid attention to that and you allowed it to spark ideas. Well, this seems to be resonating. What can I do with this? And what's next? And you allowed it, by paying attention, you allowed it to grow into this beautiful opportunity for connection. Well, in
I appreciate you saying that. And, you know, also I learned myself to, like, I listened to the community and what people were doing with it. And you can't follow community everywhere, like some places I don't want to go. But yeah, the idea of, like, oh, I'd never thought about bringing Six Words into schools, but my nephew did. He brought it right in, and then suddenly a teacher teaches it, and then, you know, thousands and thousands do. So yeah, it's been a great journey. And, you know, as a parent who devours your podcast, because it's just such good information, and it's just meeting me where I am, which is what I try to do with Six Words with teachers and schools, meet them where they are. I appreciate it. So to be talking about the value of Six Words as a parenting tool is pretty much where I want to be in 2022. And so I'm really appreciative to be talking to you today, Erin.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Larry, for this time. It was really fun to have this conversation. Where can people find out more about you or check out the books that you've written?
For sure. So sixwordmemoirs.com, SIXWRDmemoirs.com is the site. And then Six in Schools, very easy to spell, Six in Schools, is our whole area where teachers can get a free lesson plan and teach Six Word Memoirs to their classrooms. And then if they even want to, they can make their own Six Word Memoir book. I like to call it the TEDxing of Six Words. We've created a process to kind of really disperse it and open it up. So I'm working with a publishing company that knows how to make books quickly and inexpensively. And then parents can kind of buy this book of their kids' fourth grade classroom book or eighth grade classroom book to kind of to memorialize the year. And the truth is, I'm not trying to make a big plug here, but we get so much stuff back as parents, bulk packs and things. What are we going to save? I know you deal with this issue and have tricks for it, but, like, you'll save a nice looking hardcover book with your little yearbook and Six Words of your kid's class. So again, it's just an extension of the work I'm doing. So, and I do believe that when you give a teacher a Six Word Memoir book as a gift instead of a gift card or, you know, a coffee mug, you're giving them not just a fun read to sit on their desk and to flip through and maybe their coffee table at home, but maybe a tool that can be useful in their classroom. I'm just here to spread the gospel of Six. I think it's a good one.
I think it is too. I love it. Well, I hope we've given parents tons of ideas. I will post your websites in the show notes so that people can check out your work. I really encourage them to do that because I think they might have a lot of fun with this. And I meet so many parents and I work with so many parents who struggle to find the fun in the struggle. And if you can't find the fun, it makes every day more of a challenge than it has to be.
Whenever we can gamify anything, it's a win. I think for all ages, but with kids. Yes. So gamifying storytelling and learning and writing, which is what Six Word Memoirs can do, is let's find the fun. There's a Six Word Memoir in there somewhere.
Yes, I love it. Well, thank you so much, Larry, for this time today. I love all your ideas. I can't wait to hear what my listeners come up with. And we'll just go from there.
Thank you, Erin.
Okay, that wraps up today's episode. Wherever you are in this world, I hope that you can come up with six words that describe your life. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.